Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Our website is filled with more encouraging interviews, all accessible at myfaithradio.com.
It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every weekend we're here, we're doing life together. We're so glad you've joined us.
Let's clear something up right away.
Okay.
Your last name is spelled M-I-N-T-L-E.
Oh, good.
And you're a mental health professional.
I am. I'm Dr. Mental.
Dr. Mental, like a mint. How has that worked?
The teenagers always come in and say, I'm seeing Dr. Mental.
I get it.
Okay.
And it is the start of a new year. It's the start of even a new you as well. And most of us gear up this time of year and set goals regarding things that we want to change and accomplish, maybe things we have been putting off. So listen up today as we talk about to-do lists and changes that maybe you are hoping to make this new year.
If you want to increase your chances of being successful this year with some changes, you probably need to move, literally move.
So I like it here.
All of you listening in Minnesota, where it's cold this time of year, you have a better sense of change, and it works better if you live in a warm, sunny climate. I can understand this because there's nothing in me that wants to get up in the morning when it's dark and it's cold and you're one of those people who has to go out and scrape off the ice on your car. I don't want to go to the gym at that time of day. And this is why people who live in warm states like Florida often do better than those of us in the north. The warmer weather does inspire, but still, we live in the north or the northeast or wherever you're listening to this, and you still can have a fresh start. Just know it might be a little bit more tough to start.
I don't think I'd go to the gym even if I lived in Florida either.
Well, you can walk outside.
That's
the issue here. We're going to talk about how to use a to-do list without feeling like we're failing or we're guilty, which is what most people report. And I will tell you in a little bit what the biggest reason is why people fail at making their to-do list.
Well, concerning the to-do list, research says that most people find in general to-do lists don't work. And that would be because they get overwhelmed by just looking at the whole list of things that they have to do, and they don't know how to prioritize the items on the list, and they feel they're continuously adding to the list but not necessarily reducing it at the same time. And then there's a sense of confusion seeing, here we go, home tasks mixed with work tasks.
I'm curious, do you do to-do lists?
Yes.
You do?
Yes,
Do you find that they work?
I do, yeah.
We're going to be the exception if you're telling me that the research says that most of the time they don't work. I'm like you. I use them all the time.
Right, yeah.
I live by them. You've given us the problems of why they're so difficult, but I think there are many advantages. The thing I like about a to-do list is that when you use it, you have a real sense of what you have to do. There's clarity on that piece of paper. And for me, that makes me less stressed. Have you ever gotten up in the middle of the night and you have a whole bunch of stuff on your mind? Maybe you've got a big meeting or you got to remember something. If you just write it down, then I go back to sleep.
Exactly.
And it does help you prioritize. That's one of the real benefits of the list, is that you don't forget things. They're there. You've got a priority. You feel a little bit more organized. And for me, it helps with planning my days. I think to-do lists are invaluable.
We don't necessarily throw a to-do list out. Maybe it's something we should keep around.
We don't want to give them up because people aren't going to give them up. We could say they don't work, but everybody listening is going to continue to do their to-do list. What we can change about this is how we think of that list and how we use it. For me, it's not a club over my head. It's not something I look at and I go, oh, my gosh, look at all these things. I'm failed. Instead, I use it as a reminder.
Right.
And we'll get into a little bit about how to work with that to-do list. But I think that's the first shift. We have to change this thing from here's a compulsive list of things I have to do versus this is my reminder list.
The idea is to not feel guilty if you don't complete the list and use it in a positive way that works for you.
And that's the issue. It's not going to be this measure of success or failure. We want to get that out of our mind. When we change our behavior, Chris, a lot of it has to do with the way we think about things.
Right.
Our thoughts impact our emotions, and then they also impact our behaviors. We have to think different. So we're going to lose the guilt about the list, and we're going to talk in a few moments about what we can do with that list to make it work for us.
Writing it down should help take the item off of your mind.
I think that's the biggest part, don't you?
Yes, that's all of it, especially when several things are going on in life at one time. You're like, look, I have to do this, I have to do this. Putting it on one list helps bring calm to the situation because you have a sense of control of this madness in your life.
And don't you think it lessens your anxiety when you do that?
Definitely.
Studies have shown that your brain gets overwhelmed when it sees a list of 7 or 8 options.
Hmm.
If there's too many on that list, your brain wants to shut down. We might want to work from different lists. You said something a few minutes ago about you have a list for work, you have a list for home. We have a list for, I don't know what else you'd have a list for, church duties if you're over-involved in your church.
Right.
If you separate them into different categories and you don't have more than a few on each list, your brain might look at that and go, oh, okay, those are my reminders, but it won't get overwhelmed when you do that.
I think this is interesting because if I see a list of 7 or 8 more things, that's a motivation for me because it's like, oh, we have to get this done.
I'm like that too. Yeah. I guess we don't fit the research.
Why are we
We're telling
you
our stories. Why are we doing this? Yeah.
Right.
Here's the other thing. If you put things on the list, estimate how much time that item is going to take. Because if you don't do that ahead of time, you're going to get real upset because something on your list is going to take 4 hours. And you're not thinking about that, and that's half your day.
Right.
I think it's very, very important to look at each of those lists and put a column there that estimates your time.
Especially at work, in an effort to be organized to get things finished, your boss would like to see you have an organized list of things to do. But if you don't prioritize what's to be done, that could be a problem.
I think part of our issue is we get unrealistic with our time frames. And so if you guesstimate a time frame for each of your item, you could look at those maybe 5 things and go, wow, that's going to take me a week instead of a day. And I have that down for getting done today, but realistically, it's not going to happen. So what do you think about doing items on the list that are either the hardest things you should do and get them done first, or do you like to do the easy things and cross them off?
Get the hard things out of the way. It makes the rest of the list more enjoyable.
Okay, so you and I are alike like that.
Yeah.
Now,
mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people who will do the real easy things and cross them off, and then they feel like they've accomplished something.
The only exception would be is if one of the hard things is going to require a lot of time, a lot of concentration, and you have to devote most of your day or week to it, it may be best then to get some of these small things out of the way. But let's get the big stuff out of the way first.
I do that when I'm writing a book. Mm-hmm. I know I have to have a real good chunk of time, so I don't even start if I can't do that. Finally, before we go to our break, I think a red pen or marker helps me. I mark through the items. I love seeing the red.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel like, yes, back in school again, item done. I think that sometimes is a very big thing, too.
You can use an orange highlighter, too.
You could.
Orange.
You could.
Right.
The to-do list is there to remind you, not to condemn you. So we want to start with that as we're talking about goal setting and starting the new year in a better way. They're going to make you work, those to-do lists, because they're going to look at them, you're going to prioritize them, you're going to look at the time frames, and you're going to get them going. But we want you to have the right mindset when you're using that list.
All right, so we're not getting rid of our to-do list,
no.
But we are going to make them work better for us. So more on goal setting and making change right after the break.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder, what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising healthy kids in an unhealthy world. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
To check out Dr. Linda's books on weight control, Lose It for Life, Press Pause Before You Eat, Breaking Free from Compulsive Overeating, and Raising Healthy Kids, go to drlindamental.com. Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Let's get back to our conversation about goals and making change. We were talking about to-do lists.
I've talked about this with so many people, and people are feeling like losers when they do those lists, and it's hard. People really struggle with the list, and I hate the way it makes people feel like they're failures or losers because they don't do well on that list.
I think you said it in the first segment, the to-do list is not an enemy.
Right.
It's not to make you feel guilty. It's a good thing. It's a challenge.
If it's really causing you grief, maybe you should get rid of it. But I don't know how you remember then what to do. Phone reminders, that's a to-do list too. But you can put reminders on your phone. A lot of people do that.
Now, you said before the break that you'd tell us the biggest reason people fail at making changes. What is it?
This is a big therapy secret, so I'm letting it out for free here. One of the biggest reasons is because you are not in the stage of change ready to make that change. Here's what we're going to talk about. There is a model called the Stages of Change model. That sounds real academic. It's really not. We're going to go through the five stages of change. The problem that people have is they try to make a change and they're not ready. So a lot of people are thinking, I want to lose weight.
Right, definitely.
But I'm always working on that. Right. If you're a woman, you're always working on losing weight, which is a sad state.
But the thing is, as far as change goes, I recently got an elliptical machine. It's in the basement and I've been using the thing. And typically I'd be like, oh, you know, I need to lose weight. The elliptical machine would become a clothes rack.
Yeah.
It's not a clothes rack this time because I am physically looking at myself and saying it is time to do something.
We're going to talk about where you are in the stage of change because that is a mindset that you have to get to. That's exactly my point.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's losing weight, whether you want to exercise more. Some people have the goal of reading their Bible more and doing more spiritual disciplines in their life. If you're not ready to make that change, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Be real about it. So when I hear you talking, Chris, you're saying, it's not going to be this clothes hanger I'm going to use it this time. And as we go through this, you're going to see where you are in that stage of change. A lot of times we want to make changes just because we feel guilty or we feel pressured or maybe we went to the doctor and the doctor is saying, you got to make some changes. And we're like, yeah. But we're really not ready to do that.
Well, you mentioned in the first segment when we were talking about to-do lists, the issue of guilt. And I'm assuming that guilt is not a good motivator for change.
It's not. Sometimes you can be guilted into doing things, but it's better to make change because of something you feel is important to do. There's this thing in psychology called the locus of control. And if there's something inside you motivating a change, you have a good reason rather than someone outside of you telling you to make changes. That is a better way to make change. So there's a lot of times we want to make change because we want to please somebody or we have some pressure. Somebody is telling us that we need to make change. The very first place you start is you have to ask yourself, why do I want to make change?
Right.
Why? What's going on there?
In my case, I didn't like the way I looked.
Is that different than in times past? Why now is the question.
I'm not sure. I think it reached a breaking point.
Okay, here's two things that we look for in helping people make change. We look for if it's important to you and if you're motivated.
Right.
So you sound like you're motivated this time.
I think so.
You think you're motivated differently than you have been in the past?
Yeah, because your belt starts to get tight, you know.
So you're noticing a change.
So it's
important. Is there a reason it's important to you at this point?
I would like to look nice, Dr. Linda. Am I paying for this? As much as this going to cost?
Let's get deep. Let me talk about your childhood, Chris. A lot of times we're in the very first stage, which is the pre-contemplation stage.
Okay.
This is where people are not even thinking about change. maybe you go to a doctor, or maybe your spouse is telling you that you need to change, but you're going, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not important to you. You're not motivated. If you're in that pre-contemplation stage, forget about it.
Right.
As they say in Jersey.
Forget about it.
It's not going to happen. You have to be moved to another stage.
The first stage is pre-contemplation. How do we move past that?
You begin to think about the pros and the cons of making this change. Mm-hmm. That's the step. Move from pre-contemplation to the next step, which is contemplation. You're contemplating, you're thinking about maybe you should make a change. So, for example, let's say you want to exercise more. You begin to think, okay, some of the pros. Well, I'll feel better.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look better. I want to improve my health. I can do more with my kids. And you start thinking, yeah, but the cons are you have to find a time to do it. Right. I don't really enjoy it.
You got to get all the clothes off of the elliptical machine.
Yeah. You got to make my space for it.
Right.
I think, oh, it's too hard. I like it when I'm at the gym. I don't like trying to get there.
Exactly.
Those are the cons that are weighing against me. So you're weighing out the importance and the motivation of making a change.
I think I stay in the change state a lot. I'm guessing most of us do,
mm-hmm.
which is why it's hard to make a change.
Yeah, that contemplation stage, we're constantly deciding pros and cons. Maybe we have a health scare or we find an exercise we enjoy. If we can get like that, if we can get it to be important, if we can get it moving like what you're doing right now, I would say you're in the preparation stage.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it may be beyond that.
Your
change.
Path getting
yeah,
ready? Okay,
right.
So the preparation stage is this getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
You got the elliptical.
Right.
So that's preparation.
Cleared out a spot in the basement.
You cleared out a spot.
Right.
Have you thought about a time when you're going to do it?
Believe it or not, usually in the evening.
Okay,
after
so you,
the kids
so
are
that's
in bed,
part
yeah.
of the preparation mm-hmm. is you're working out the details and you're thinking about it, you're planning. So now it sounds like you've moved into the next stage of change, which is action.
Action, here we
time
go.
Time to take action.
Right.
You're motivated. You think it's important. You're acknowledging that you need to do that. You got to get some support for that. So I suppose we should be asking you every weekend when we see you how you're doing with that exercise.
I knew I shouldn't have brought
I'll
it up.
I'll put Pam, our producer, on it. How's that? Our social media. Cody could be tweeting on this constantly, how you're doing.
I don't need that in my life. I don't need that.
It's called support. Come on. That's called support.
Right. Most of us fall off the change wagon. I know we've made it into the action stage and support helps, but then again, at the same time, most of us just doesn't last, and we go back to our old habits. And that's why you see so many in the gym the first part of the year, like now, and then by March, there's no
one
there at all.
They're gone. You can get on any machine you want, right? When we're talking about being motivated for change and making sure that it's really important, then you're going to move from action into what we call the maintenance phase.
Hmm.
You made a change. But we all relapse and slip up. Change is not this straight line. I decide, I do it. If it was, I could write a book and be a millionaire for that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you realize that it's normal to have a few slips, to kind of go back, to relapse a few times, you got to say to yourself, oh, I'm in the maintenance. I made this change. I've been doing it for a few months. Okay, I didn't go. I'm starting to get laps. This happens with weight loss all the time,
mm-hmm.
where people start to find they're creeping up a pound or two. And I say, you're in the maintenance. Go back, start doing what you did to be successful, and get back on the bandwagon.
That happened to me last night. If we can continue to use me as an example on this
which
program.
We are.
Right. I've been feeling a little sick lately. And last night, I didn't feel like doing the elliptical machine. Missing one night's not the
no,
end of the world.
No. So get back on it.
Right. And we have to be honest about where we are in the change process.
Yes, we do.
Are we really motivated to make a change, or are we giving it lip service? And lip service will definitely end in failure. When we come back, more strategies about setting goals and ways to be successful on the Dr. Linda Mental Show. So you don't tweet and you don't post? No problem. Check out the relationship doctor, Dr. Linda Mental, on myfaithradio.com.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
The news these days is full of so many sad, depressing, or downright frightening things that cause us to go through our days with frowns on our faces and a cloud over our hearts. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I've got a suggestion for you to help ward off the heaviness that you might be feeling. The Bible is clear. Laughter does good like a medicine. One clear antidote for heaviness is to increase the laughter in your life. While my friend was battling cancer, she made it a regular habit to watch all the wonderful old comedy movies she could find. Laughing with her husband allowed them both to enjoy a rush of endorphins and precious moments together. Now, I'm not telling you that laughter alone will solve everything, but it will clear out the gloom. Reading God's Word and living in His promise is our best armor. But having a good laugh every day will help keep your focus off those things you can't control. It'll cut down on your wrinkles and increase your trust in the God who rules your world and the world around you.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Okay, Dr. Linda, so far we're not going to beat ourselves up over the to-do list that we've made.
Right.
Especially we've made some here in the new year.
We're changing our thinking about that.
Right.
It's a help. It's a reminder.
And then if we set goals and need to make changes, we're going to figure out if we're ready to make the change at this point or if we're just thinking we should.
That was the stages of change.
Right.
Figure out if you're pre-contemplation,
mm-hmm.
contemplation, preparation, action, or maintenance. Where are you in those stages of change?
So now,
mm-hmm.
what is important about setting goals to accomplish things or make change?
The number one thing is that you have to make sure that your goals are realistic.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote this book that became bestseller with Steve Arterburg from New Life called Lose It for Life. So much in that book is looking at the mental state and the emotional way that we deal with weight loss. And part of it is that we have to set realistic goals. I do have a goal to exercise regularly. I'm like you. I have an elliptical. But I don't have the goal that I'm going to train for a marathon.
Right.
Because I've never gotten over 2 miles in my whole life. I hate to run. I don't know what it is. I got up one year. We were living in Chicago. I got up in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
I did it for 6 months religiously. Got up and I kept thinking, I'm going to feel that runner's high.
Yeah.
I'm going to get into this. And I hated it.
Mm.
I hated it. I was counting down the minutes that I could get out of there. I had headset on, but it didn't matter. I hated it. So realistically, I know that if I'm going to choose running, which is why I have an elliptical,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to make it. It wasn't realistic. I can't train for any kind of running event, and I don't want to. Here's my advice to everyone. Aim low, not high when you're setting your goals. Psychologically, if you aim low, it will help you feel successful. And then when you feel successful, you build on that success and you become more successful. This is especially true when we're talking about weight loss and exercise.
And sticking with it is important. And people say it takes 30 days to make a habit out of something, which that sounds great. You say it could take as many as 90.
I think it takes longer to make a habit. The longer we keep doing something, there's a habit-forming process in the brain. There's these neural connections that begin to wire together and fire together, and you're creating a pattern in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
We want everything in our culture so fast.
Right.
We want to take a pill. You see all these advertisements. We want to put this thing on our waist. It's going to melt the pounds away or crazy things because we want to do it quickly.
Yeah.
The harsh reality of all of this is it doesn't happen fast.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep doing something over and over again before it becomes habit. Remember that book? It was the Gladwell book. I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it was all about that you have to practice something 10,000 times before you become good at something.
Wow.
It's setting that up in the brain. Any professional athlete will tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball guys, they spend hours shooting free throws. Because they're trying to get that brain part of their body-brain connection together so that when they get up there in the middle of all the craziness of the game, they're going to make that throw.
There was a basketball coach some years ago that left 5 players on the bench and told them to imagine shooting free throws. And they did as well as the guys who were practicing free throws.
It's that sports psychology that they use, but
yeah.
It's the same kind of psychology that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever tried to make a big change and you have found that somebody is encouraging you to stay with it when you're about ready to give up?
Well, I have found that whether the change is small or big, if it's something that you want to follow through with and make happen, it's best to tell people that you're doing it. And they are apt to say, hey, how's that coming along? Where if you stay all in yourself, you have no accountability there.
And especially when we're talking about weight loss, one of the things we found in the research is that if you have a spouse or a friend who is supportive of weight loss, those people do much better with weight loss than if they don't have any support.
Right.
And I want to bring it in, because we always do in our last segment, that this also applies to us spiritually. When we're down and we want to give in to negative thinking, which might be a habit that we want to break this new year, I want to stop going to such a down place in my life and try to feel better, that if we can develop those spiritual disciplines that we've been talking about, the prayer, the reading our Bible, and then finding someone. Think about David and Jonathan in Scripture, best friends,
right.
Helped each other, encouraged each other. Aaron and Moses. Remember when Aaron lifted the hands of Moses because he was so tired in front of the people? And Paul and Barnabas. I mean, people in the Bible had other people to help them. And then the disciples had to work together to build the first church. It would have been easy to be discouraged, but our faith and trust in God is what really helps us. And we can think of that scripture that when we're weak, God is strong. And that is, to me, a huge motivator to keep me going. So when other people come alongside us to lift us up and tell us, come on, don't give in, you can do it, that support is critical.
It even speaks to the reason as to why this show exists in the first place. The mantra on this program is, we do life together.
Right.
And it's our desire to encourage each listener to be the best person that you can be with the help of God and, of course, with others.
So with Christ and others to come alongside of us, you know then that change is possible. Change is the hallmark of the Christian life, and old things become new when Christ is in us. The power of the Holy Spirit helps us to preserve through all kinds of difficulty, and so does the body of Christ if we're truly helping each other. So this year, we want you all to move to the action stage of change. Make your goals realistic, remind yourself with a to-do list, and rely on God to give you the power and the strength that you need to make any change, make it realistic, but any change that you have.
You know, there's a popular song right now that's got a line that says, no man is an island.
Right.
You've got God. You've got other people with you. You're not alone when it comes time to make these changes.
And there we are. We're doing life together. That's our whole thing. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our social media director, Cody Gokenhauer, our post-producer, Chris Underation, and thanks, of course, to you, Chris Weigel, my co-host, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you again next weekend. In the meantime, remember, and especially remember with this show, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.